Very fucking unprofessional.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Playoffs.
When I walk the city, I'ma rock the baby. Got a classic leather with a classic weather. I'm on top of shit like Stojakovic. Too fast, 55. White chocolate. I got game like Fox, baby. I got D like Mitchell. We gon' play this game, baby. Till they blow that whistle. We fly. Silver Surfer. I'm behind the paint, Kevin Hurt. Hey, pass the ball on my dope. I'm to the rim like Sabonis.
I'ma try to keep this respectful.
Y'all can't play like mom.
Thought I was gonna take a couple of days off. Can't do it, you know what I mean? Can't leave pods alone. The game needs
Professional as fuck podcast.
No notes. Roll of motion. Wasn't gonna let a day go by, cause then I'm gonna forget everything that I'm feeling at the moment. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, the talk of the town, what your channel's talking about. Unprofessional as fuck with your host Ruck. This is Sports Show 22.
I ain't sharing up. They neglect us like they didn't want to hear it. Now we making them respect us when we making our parents like full court pressure. Hey. G sitting on the front seat of the Tesla. They ask me why we so aggressive. Fake things they put out excessive. And my time is of the essence.
Gotta cut it. Yo. I'm not one of those people who's going to come in here and act like I wasn't, you know, a little bit reluctant to look towards this game. When it was announced how this was going to go down, you know what I mean? We left that Kings game, the last King of the, game of the regular season on Sunday. A very, dominant win over a team that is obviously struggling. Can't really put too many feathers in your cap on that one. But then you come across a team like the Golden State Warriors, who obviously, you know, that Father Time has started to do a little bit of work on this squad. You'd be a fool to try to disrespect or neglect the talent of this Steph Curry. It's obvious that this guy is one of the greatest we've ever seen. I was just a little bit undecided as far as how I was going to look at this with the supporting cast that he had currently. The reason why I say that is because, you know, with Draymond, he's been up and down, the emotional, you know, guy that he is. And that's putting it politely. Been telling y'all, Klay Thompson wears his emotions on his sleeve. And when he's going, that shit works in his favor. But when he had a night like he had tonight, a night like I've never seen for Klay Thompson, we're going to talk about it. Like I said, I don't want to come in here and act like this is, you know, I knew this was going to happen. This is how we drew it up. You know, it was never a chance for the Warriors. Nah. Y'all heard me on that last pod talking about, you know, bias and worst case scenario. I mean, best case scenario, this is how it would happen. Definitely had a little bit of reserves as far as calling this one an easy win. And I guess I just misunderstood the emotions on both sides. Both sides on each team. I was over here overhyping the fact that, you know, this Warriors team knows that this dynasty is going to come to an end eventually. I mean, business decisions, regardless of how this season ended, was going to see that core three broken up. It's very obvious who the writing on the wall is for now. I mean, through the emotions that you've seen through all of this, maybe that played a little bit of a part on why Klay Thompson had the night that he did. Maybe he came out knowing that this is going to be the last time I suit up with these gentlemen, wear this uniform. If we don't get this game, I got to come out here and, you know, ball out. I got to be Klay Thompson of the past. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was just one of those nights where a few of them didn't go down right away and he just got in his own head. He does that. I got a couple of Warriors fans, you know what I mean? We're going back and forth with me on social media. At the end of it all, you know, it was crickets. Not going to lie, that was real active and real talkative in that first half. And, you know, clowning, you know, this and that. Then that second half came about. I looked at my social media and I was like, damn, I feel like I'm camping out here. You know what I mean? What the fuck's going on? What the fuck? It is what it is, though. It's neither here nor there. But all this is going down. And like I said, I'm thinking about all the emotions that are going to be playing a factor on the Warriors side of things. And I'm not over here thinking about what's going on with the Kings. But these guys had such a great season last year, finally breaking that long-ass drought, 16, 17 years of not making the postseason. For you to get in as the higher seed, and just the way that it all shook out as far as seeding was concerned, you go up against a Warriors team who has no business in the sixth seed. You play seven games, you play your heart out, and then you get to that seventh game on your home court, and Steph Curry has a 50-point, you know, outing, and that just led to the end of that run. Now, I didn't know how to quite look at that. I looked at our team play being up and down. Sometimes we were playing to the, just to the level of our competition. The reason why I say that is because we'll go out and lose a game to the Pistons, who look like, you know, pure garbage on the court this past season. And then the next, immediately after that game, you go play a defending champion Denver Nuggets and beat them by 20 or something. It was just crazy, right? Up and down, up and down. You forget to show up on some days. And then on other days, you're there. I say all that to say this. I underestimated the emotion of a Kings team who had that run, who broke that streak, who had home court, who had the game seven in their house, and watched Steph Curry celebrating, you know, put the night-night on not only that season, but the Cinderella season that it was for a team that had to be ultimately excited to be in that position at all. When this game started, it was very apparent that De'Aaron Fox wanted this win. Sabonis did great things to an extent. It's not the game that we're used to seeing from this guy as far as, you know, a triple-double with high-ass amounts of points, rebounds, the game we've been used to seeing throughout the regular season. It's been tailing off in this past 11 games that we've seen of the regular season, which led me to believe, oh, man, there's still cause for concern. Once we get down to the nitty-gritty where games matter, you know, it's a different Sabonis. Today, he did just enough. And I think what made it so important is that he didn't have to do it all. You manage certain people. You don't let the fact that you get into foul trouble early on a few of these calls with some bullshit. But a few of these calls also is him trying to get away with certain things that you absolutely don't even need to do. When you're trying to sneak a push with a hand that's, you know, barely visible, it's going to get caught. These guys are professionals that you're doing it to. These motherfuckers have been in postseason. They got all this experience as far as not only championship experience, but just playoff experience in general. They know how to make it look like it's supposed to look. They know how to, you know, put a little extra sauce on it and get people into foul trouble. That was something that we don't usually do, especially with a lead. We go out there and hoist up threes and allow the other team to take the defensive side of the ball off. Don't run any clock. Keep them with fresh legs, and then they could use and exert their energy on offense. Today, I seen something that was a glimmer of hope. Not just for this game. Not just looking ahead to a Pelicans team that has beat us five times this year that we've met. A sweep of this season series, including the in-season tournament, which had us meet for a fifth time this year. And all five times we have lost, and not only lost, but lost looking bad. I attended one of those games. Saw it firsthand. Huge fucking loss. I was looking at my kids like, y'all ready to go? They were like, no, we want to stay. I'm like, man, I got to sit in traffic after this too? Oh, but hey, not even looking forward. Right now I'm looking at what was happening tonight on this court. We got hot from 3 points. You know, the three-point shot was going down early. I think we had fucking 11 or 15 or something crazy. Real early, we're looking. Keegan Murray scores the first, I don't know how many points of the game. At one point, he had 14. The rest of the team had 11 collectively. And you look at it like, oh, man, if Keegan gets going, that's a good sign. But not only did he do what he did on the offensive side of the ball, you know, making big shots and big moments, not enough has been said about the defense. Because we don't always play the defensive, you know, consistency and the intensity on the defensive side of the ball doesn't always show up. But we've seen it tonight. kudos to Mike Brown, the coaching staff, and the players themselves for just really putting a huge focal point on not only playing defense, but on shutting down the specific players that could get this team going in a way where there's no way to, you know, get a grip on it later. Steph Curry was bothered all night long. Keon Ellis. Keegan Murray. The defensive games that we've seen from these gentlemen tonight, along with a De'Aaron Fox. Alex Len came in and got a couple blocks. I mean, the defensive effort and intensity that we've seen tonight, when you play like that with the stars that you have and the ability to make shots, you're really fucking tough to beat. But Keon Ellis might have had a little bit of extra a little extra incentive for going out there and making Curry look small. For those of y'all who don't know, I told you my brother Jake put it to my attention. Keon Ellis is the son of Monte Ellis, who was the star and beloved by the Golden State Warriors fan base, organization, teammates, all alike. And then a young kid out of Davidson gets drafted by the name of Steph Curry, and the Warriors make a decision to move on from Monte Ellis. Steph Curry proceeds to have weak ankles in the beginning of his career, miss a lot of games. Fan base is up in arms. We want our Monte back. Monte moves on to other places, never really has the splash that he did in Golden State. Steph Curry becomes Steph Curry, and, you know, you look back at that like the right decision was made. But today, Keon Ellis was playing with a little extra incentive.
Cash money still a cup in it. Bitch, I'm the boss. And I be stunning like my daddy. Stunning like my daddy. Stunning like my daddy. Stunning like my daddy.
Professional as fuck podcast.
Like my daddy. I be stunning like my daddy. Yeah. Bitch, I'm paid. That's all I got.
Not enough could be said about the play of Keon Ellis tonight, not only on the defensive side of the ball, not only the struggles that he, you know, gave to Steph Curry all night long, the steals, the, you know, making key plays and key moments to set your team up with a fast break opportunity that leads to points that gets the fans into it. The fans, not enough could be said about the fucking fans. That building was on fire from the moment the game started. The first defensive chant that I heard, I knew that that building was filled with fans who really gave a fuck, and kudos to y'all, man. Would have loved to be there. But so glad that y'all were in attendance. It was very much so pointed out after the game by anybody who spoke to media. But Keon Ellis, man. It's for Monte. Chill out, but y'all get the point, right? Man, Keon Ellis had a great game on both sides of the ball. Harrison Barnes, I want to point out the fact that when the team, you know, when I usually see the team get three happy and you lose a lead, because like I said, you just put up these shots and make the close out of a big lead more difficult than it should be. Tonight, anytime that Harrison Barnes got into the paint against one of his old teammates, one of the gentlemen that he won a ring with before back there in Golden State, he not only found a way to make sure that he didn't give that ball up to nobody, he kept his dribble alive, and when he picked it up, used the knowledge that he has and the experience and just, you know, the overall savvy to not only get these guys to commit fouls, but more often than not, turn it into a three-point opportunity and then go and cash in from there. Come on, man. Harrison Barnes. There was a lot of people who were talking about him possibly being expendable, talking about trade this guy prior to the deadline. There was a lot of names that were on that chopping block by fans, by the organization as a whole. I really like this squad when they're dialed in. There are moments where you look at them and you're like, what the hell is going on? But tonight, the defensive intensity, tonight, the fact that these guys wanted it more than the Warriors did, the fact that the Warriors were looking at the hourglass and seeing the time slip out while the Kings weren't even given a damn about no time. They were out there just playing their game until that final horn was sounded. It was different tonight. And when the defense gets played like that, there's really nothing you could do. We got playmakers. Even the way that we are now, wounded with injuries, a lack of the depth that we had throughout this season. We lose Monk. We lose Herter. I don't know why we don't have such a, you know, rotation as far as centers are concerned. Alex Lynn has been getting a lot of play time lately. JaVale McGee has just been sitting on the bench. That's a guy who could come in and do some things. We definitely got to utilize him going forward, especially on Friday against a lanky-ass Pelicans team. But before we get to that, we got to continue to talk about this Warriors squad. Steph Curry, like I said, was contained. You can't really ever shut this guy down, but he was pretty much contained until that third quarter, had a huge third quarter. Looked like he was trying to put the team on his back once again. There were guys out there who just shrunk, i.e., you know, Klay Thompson. I'm not even going to go to the box score. I'm not going to the box score just yet to look at how horrible of a night he had, but he had a goose egg, ladies and gentlemen. Big play Klay, right? This guy's come out and he's been a Kings killer in the past. Set records against us. This guy had a night of all nights one time. Barely dribbled the ball, somehow put up like 30-plus points in three quarters. Seen some insane shit from this guy. So before I come out here and completely bash him, like I was saying when me and the wife were sitting watching the game, she was like, damn, what's going on with Klay? So yeah, you know, he ain't been the same since he came back from his injury, but just the fact that he came back after the ups and downs emotionally that he had just proves that guy's got heart. She's like, you wouldn't be saying that if y'all weren't up so big. So yeah, maybe not tonight. Especially if he was having one of those Klay nights that he usually has against Sacramento. But I said, you know, maybe a week from now, I would have had to be honest again and be like, hey, man, Klay's Klay. But not today. Today, Klay sees the writing on the wall. It's very apparent by the emotions that he was showing early and throughout the game, especially towards the end. Sorry. Klay Thompson. So, it is what it is, man. I mean, you had a hell of a run while Keon was out here stunting like his daddy. You was definitely not making your father proud as he was watching you leave that organization, many believe. The death of that dynasty, the end of that big core three. And you go out there, and in your last possible appearance as a Golden State Warrior, have the night that you had. The last time I looked, you were like 0 for 10, 0 for 11, like 6 three-point attempts. It's over, Klay. You're going to magically disappear and end up in Orlando. That's what the writing says. That's what the rumors say. That's what the look on your face said as you were exiting the court. Turn back around and look back. You try to have your little Stephon Diggs moment. Nobody cares, Klay. Sorry. That's a wrap. Draymond, I don't know how you continue to get this organization to give you the money that they did, but you about to be potting just like me pretty soon, buddy. What's that guy's name? Pazinski? Yeah, that's the future. Okay. Trace Jackson Davis, you looked real small when the lights got big, bro. I know it's early in your career. I know you still got so much potential. I'm gonna have to dial this back later, but sorry. Kuminga, ever since you had that goofy ass haircut, all right, it's over. Kevon Looney, go sit on ice, bro. Every time I see you, your face look like you just got hit by a train, bro. Chill out. CP3. CP3. Curse continues. Came here trying to chase a ring, but you came too late. It's a wrap. Blake Griffin just announced his retirement. You better just follow suit. In case you didn't know.
It's over. It's over now. Move over. It's my turn now. It's over.
Hey, GM Joe Lacob got the fuck up out of there.
Sorry. It's over. It's over now. Move over.
Looked at your announced team. They weren't even on TV. This was a nationally broadcasted, you know, game. And I looked at them and just said,
sorry. It's over.
It's a wrap, man. I'll cut it off. I'll cut it off. I'm doing too much. All in all, man, before I continue, I just want to say that, hey, there's still no denying that this team, these core three players, have done things that we ain't seen done ever. That's just not even opinion. That's historical fact. You talk about a 73-9 season. I don't know if that will ever be eclipsed. The records that some of these guys have set, I know Draymond tries to focus on the ejections and flagrant foul record, but aside from that, I mean, Curry, just what he's been consistent and known to do and prone to do. Klay Thompson has had historical nights, many of them against the Sacramento Kings. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't know who these gentlemen are. But it is over. Now, is Curry going to have opportunities to go out there and still, you know, make a name for himself and make some noise? Yeah, I'm sure he will. I mean, it all depends on who comes over this way. But if you're focusing on old folks like CP3, that's not going to be the case. You've got to now look to try to find somebody a new home. Damian Lillard is not happy in Milwaukee. Giannis ain't going nowhere, but he's also hurt. They're going to start their series without him, and who's to say they even make it out? I think they're playing Indiana, and you know what Indiana is capable of doing. Not to look ahead, I'm just saying. Y'all going to need to get some people over here to help out Steph. Y'all going to have to really reevaluate how much money you are paying Draymond and see if there's a way to get him to agree to something after all the good faith that y'all have given that guy. CP3 is cursed like Kardashian coochie. You need to get this motherfucker out of town ASAP.
What the fuck?
It's just a fact. Kuminga's got talent. Kuminga's going to be somebody. Keep him around. Wiseman, it's obvious now when you see this guy over in Detroit, you made the right call there. I said a lot of shit about Trayce Jackson-Davis, but that guy's showing, you know, he's shown glimpses of some great things. So if you keep him around, keep Looney around for long enough to teach him a few things, who's to say that that doesn't turn around? Clay's got to go. Wiggins, I don't know, man. Wiggins be wigging out. Some games you look at that guy and you're like, damn, I'm sure LeBron kind of, you know, upset he traded him on day one, but probably not. Got Kevin Love. They made magic. But he's got those personal issues. I'm not going to sit here and speculate on it. I went off on the partners on Facebook, on the social media exchange. All I'm going to say is Wiggins is going to take his time away from the game to go be a guest on the Maury Povich show. That's all I'm going to say.
What the feezy?
I apologize. That's foul. It's all good, man. As far as this dynasty is concerned, that is done. But this doesn't mean that the Kings have accomplished anything. We are not in the playoffs yet. We now have to go into another play-in game against a team that has had our number this entire season. But something there has changed as well. I'm chilling, you know, getting together a show for Thursday, watching this Lakers and Pelicans game. Closely and with some concern due to the fact that whoever loses this game, we're going to have to face. And due to how far we fell out of grace, it's going to become a road game. Now, in my heart of hearts, I know that even though we defeated the Lakers four times, we swept them this season as far as any time we've met, whether that was in Golden One Center or Crypto.com. You knew those guys were going to have a chip on their shoulder knowing that that was the case throughout the regular season. Plus, you know that the big business that is the NBA wants to make sure LeBron is going to be a part of the postseason. Especially when you're looking to keep him happy. He got his son talking about possibly entering the draft this offseason. So when you see Zion Williamson doing what he was doing that early and often in that game around the Twin Towers that are Anthony Davis and LeBron James, I was like, oh, shit. Glad to see it's not just us that they come and have their way with, Pauls. But then, late in that fourth quarter, in a game that meant so much, I think it was two 2 and some change left on the clock in the fourth. You see Zion Williamson come out of the game. There's been a lot of speculation as to what that could be. All I know is that if you come out of the game that late in the game that means that much when you've been playing the way that you were, might be a little more serious. Might be something to pay attention to. Not to say they still don't got weapons over there, but a lot of that offense and defense runs through Zion Williamson, so maybe something to hang our hats on, a silver lining as far as what this regular season record has been and what this game on Friday means. If you thought that you were motivated to get revenge against the Warriors team who did what they did last season, the fact that now you have an opportunity to rewrite the wrong, rewrite history as far as this season's concerned when it came to the Pelicans, yes, they've beat you in, you know, dominant fashion throughout this entire regular season, plus an extra game in the, you know, in-season tournament. It all means nothing if you win the one that counts the most. If you find a way to go over to New Orleans and beat the Pelicans on their home court, you advance and you got a chance. And it don't get any easier from there. OKC, the Thunder, the youngest number one seed ever as far as age of players is concerned. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a real fucking problem. Chet Holmgren, that guy could be exploited. He's still young, you know, still a little green. You could maybe do some things there. Not even going to mention Giddy. Should get him going the fuck up out of here, send him back to fucking Australia, change them laws and get him locked up, but it is what it is, I guess. No Diddy. It ain't going to get any easier, and it could have been all so much different. If you guys would have found a way to close out this end of the season in a better way, if you guys wouldn't have fallen out of the 6th seed all the way down to the 10th, or excuse me, the 9th, we wouldn't be in this position. One win in the play-in would have meant that we were in the fucking playoffs. We shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? If was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. That being said, let me take a little sip of this Douce. This is brought to you by Douce and Lemonade, because I said so. Straight out the Unprofessional as Fuck Tumblr, available right now. If you want to reach out, send one your way.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.
Now, that being said, the Lakers have advanced. They have become the 7th seed. I believe in second place in the West is the Denver Nuggets, which means you're going to see either the Nuggets or the Lakers eliminated in the first round. That's big. If the Kings can find a way to beat the number one seed, it's kind of had our number as well. You know, these guys, if there was two teams that I would not want to play to after, you know, get through the first round of the fucking playoffs, it would be the Pelicans in the play-in. In the Thunder in a 7-game series where they're going to be hosting 4 of the 7 games. But hey, you made it difficult, but you also made it possible with your play tonight. You advance and you have a chance. Again now, can you bring that same intensity? Does that travel with you? Can you do that without the crowd that you had tonight? Can you do that with everybody screaming in the opposite direction? With all of the animosity directed your way? Can you get over one more hump that is the Pelicans and find yourself in a 7-game series where anything can happen? We'll see Friday. We shall see. Very excited for this game coming up. Cannot wait to see what's going on. I mean, yeah. Recent history will say that this is going to be a tough game, but hey, with the momentum that you built as a team tonight, with what you have seen that is possible on both sides of the ball, with our veterans coming out and playing like veterans and our young guys not being too afraid of the big lights and the big moments, says a lot. Keegan came out and balled tonight. Keon Ellis in his second year came out and fucking balled tonight. De'Aaron Fox knew that he needed this game for his legacy, and he needs to get one more just to get into the playoffs and really make a run that means something. Demonis, there's still room for growth, bro. You did so many great things this season. We wouldn't be in this position without you, but in the playoffs, you need to get bigger. You can't shrink. A lot of room for excitement, a lot of reason to be motivated, a lot of reason to have confidence moving forward, regardless of what stands before you. Your only opponent is the person in the mirror. If you guys come out and defeat your own worries and doubts mentally, you can come out and do whatever the fuck needs to be done to change the narrative and make a push, get back in the playoffs, make it 2 years in a row, start a different type of streak, and give yourself a chance. Can't wait. Tomorrow, I believe it's the Bulls and the Hawks. Very much the common theme and common feeling that the Bulls are going to run through that Hawks team. But, hey, that's what they said about the Kings today. Look where we at. Anything can happen. I believe the other game is going to be the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. That will be one to watch. While the West first beginning of this play-in games are concluded now, the East gets their turn tomorrow. And I believe this all gets decided on Friday, with the East game probably kicking off at 4:30 and the West game starting at 7. Maybe slightly later than that. Maybe you get a 5 o'clock and 7:30 start. Don't quote me on it. I will look at the schedule, find out, and let y'all know. But I had to come out and just, you know, give a little bit of my insight on this game and what was seen tonight on that court. Just the blueprint, I guess. You know what I mean? You guys showed each other the blueprint tonight on what you have to do to be successful, how to play playoff basketball, how to not let the moment be too big. If you could do that and make that transfer with you over to New Orleans this Friday and get a win, then I would be afraid to see that team whenever they do have to go over to OKC with the momentum, the confidence, and just the wherewithal to know that you can get it done. Still a lot of work to do. That's obvious. But hey, we ain't never really ran from the work, right?
When I walk the city, I'ma rock the baby. Got a classic leather with a classic weather. I'm on top of shit like Stojakovic. Too fast, 55, white chocolate. I got game like Fox, baby. I got D like Mitchell. We gon' play this game.
Shout out my brother Min Scales. Shout out my brother Cheddar.
We fly, Silver Surfer. I'm behind the paint, Kevin Hurd.
He was the last of a dying breed back when everybody was like, who's a Kings fan? I'm
through the rim like Sabonis. Look at my feet when I dunk. Y'all can't play like Monk.
Like Monk.
What you mean?
Let's get this shit done, gentlemen.
Black and purple, we the king.
Friday, we gotta do it again.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.
Till next time, find what makes you happy and return the favor. You will see the Kings play later.
Team pop out, they won't stop staring. Putting numbers on
the Warriors.
Board, look up at the scoreboard, they embarrassed. Running through my city, I ain't never needed clearance. Like bars, the way the 40 getting carry TikTok. I'ma keep my spot, I ain't sharing up. They neglect this like they didn't want to hear it. Now we making them respect this when we making our parents. Full court press.